As we continue in worship, we have the opportunity to read upon the Word of God. We'll be reading in the book or the Gospel of Luke, the 10th chapter, verses 25 through 37. We're starting a series today talking about who is my neighbor. And so we'll be looking at this for the next few weeks as we kind of continue to dive in. And there'll be some different things and opportunities for you to participate in and for us as a church to participate in, both around our church and also hopefully in your own communities and neighborhoods as we look to really form relationship with our neighbors. So before I read the scripture, let us pray. God, we love you and we thank you for this time together. We thank you for the opportunity to read upon your word. Familiar scripture, Lord, the story of the parable of the Good Samaritan. May we open our hearts and ears to hear it anew as you speak to us through your gospel today. I ask that you speak through me and in spite of me, that your word might be proclaimed. We pray this in Christ's holy name. Amen. Luke 10, 25 through 37. It says, "Just then a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. 'Teacher,' he said, 'what must I do to inherit eternal life?' Jesus said to him, 'What is written in the law? What do you read there?' He answered, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself.' And he said to him, 'You have given the right answer. Do this and you will live.' But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, 'And who is my neighbor?' Jesus replied, 'A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers, who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. By chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said, 'Take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend.' Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" The lawyer said, "The one who showed him mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. As you entered in, I hope we're trying to give out these little sheets. I hope you grabbed one. I'll reference it here after a while. You know, as I've mentioned, my family and I just moved to a new neighborhood. We've moved 5 times in the last 12 years. 4 of those we were told to move, and this last one we weren't even told to move, and we moved. Austin South, we lived, and then we moved to Falfurrias and Flack Street in Falfurrias, and then we moved to Weslaco on the end of West 8th Street, and then we moved to Harlingen on the old part of Harlingen on Arcadia Drive, and then we moved back to South Austin, to the home we left 9 years prior, and now we're up in North Austin. And some of the homes that we lived in were parsonages, which are the house that the church provides for the pastor. And so some of the houses we sought out and looked for a neighborhood or the school district or school area we wanted to live and purchase the house in that way. And if it was a parsonage, the neighbors already knew that it was going to be the next Methodist pastor who was going to be living in that house. And so sometimes we fit that bill, and sometimes they were like, "Wait, you're the Methodist pastor?" Sometimes we lived in houses that were real close to where the parsonage used to be, and I was like, "Why did you sell the parsonage when you did?" But moving into a new neighborhood can be daunting. There are expectations of being new neighbors. People want to know, like, who is this person? Sometimes they want to know that. There are other times where where you just want to be a good neighbor, so you take your trash back in after the trash truck comes, you keep your trees trimmed and your fences fixed, you keep your pets contained, you keep your cars from blocking the driveway of the neighbor's parking lot. And what I've learned in this new neighborhood that I live is that you don't speed, because there's a speed things all over the place, and don't speed because we don't want those speed bumps back. These are all good things about being a good neighbor. But and they'll keep your neighbors happy, and they'll keep them from gossiping about you. You know that family that just moved in? Or these things that I just mentioned take zero effort, though, in connecting with those around you. You can do it without ever talking to anyone next door, behind you, wherever. In this morning's scripture, Jesus talks to us about what it means to be a good neighbor. And he commands us to care for and love others. Not just keep our neighbors from gossiping about us, but to care for and love others. And the command to love our neighbors lies at the core of God's plan for our lives. And when we follow this mandate, it changes everything. So on the way to Jerusalem, Jesus meets this lawyer who stood up to Jesus, and the lawyer tries to kind of show Jesus up before the public by challenging him and really pushing him a little bit, but his motives were far from honorable, and they were more about wanting to justify himself. And so he comes to Jesus and says, what must I do to move to have life? And what must I do to have eternal life? And Jesus says, well, what's the law say? And he says, well, it says to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus says, you're right. And he commends him. You've given the right answer. And then the lawyer comes back with this question of, well, who's my neighbor? You know, I think there's a little bit of that within all of us. Like, Jesus, who is my neighbor? A little bit of lawyer in all of us in whom we serve. Asking the question like, do I have to love that person? Is that person my neighbor? Sometimes there's something within all of us that can creep up in our mind and our heart that maybe, well, we can love all these people, but that one's a little extreme. Sometimes we just want to say, Jesus, tell me, one, two, three, but not this one, one, two, three, A, B, C. How do I justify myself and who I love? And to answer that question, Jesus tells this parable that we've heard and we know, and even at children's time, one of our children told the whole story, just almost quoted from the Bible. The Good Samaritan, we know the story, we've heard it sometimes. Person attacked and beaten and left for dead, and a couple people passed by and kind of put their head down, and then a Samaritan passed by and goes near the person and cares for them. A Samaritan, someone who Jews and Samaritans do not get along. They hold each other in hatred and disrespect and disgust, and the Samaritan stops and helps and supports the person in need. And so often we like to think of this parable of like stranger only, like the person who helps the person on the side of the road jump their car or help them fix a tire, or the person on the side of the street who's holding that sign that says, please help me feed my children, need work, anything. And we say, well, I'm going to be a good Samaritan today and help this person. But what if this parable is more about than just a story about helping that person who comes across in need on the side of the road? What if it's about being a good neighbor, not as saying, well, everyone's my neighbor and I'll just help everyone or someone sometime or another, but what if it's instead to be about connecting with those around us in order to create change and relationships that multiply? Now, I don't want to exclude the helping the person in need on the side of the road or the stranger, or because those folks depend on kindness of strangers. But this parable goes beyond that. I think this book of Who is My Neighbor? Or The Art of Neighboring is trying to go beyond that metaphor. So often we can take this love my neighbor so broadly that it becomes overwhelming and that we forget how simple Jesus was really trying to make this for the people. That when asked to pick any commandment that was more important than others, he said, love your neighbor as yourself. And for Jesus, that's not defined by race or religion or economics or geography, but and that's why today we're supporting our neighbors in Hawaii, brothers and sisters who are in need, and we are responding. But what if Jesus meant to love our actual neighbors? And so as you have one of these sheets, you can see that your house is in the middle, and this sheet is meant to allow you to think about those who surround your actual house. Who's behind you and who's in front of you and who's to the left and right of you, and to kind of have your neighborhood, your 8 families, including, and then yourself, 9 people total. And to think about, do we know the names of those who surround us? Maybe we've been living there for less than a month, or maybe we've been living there for 30 years, or maybe there's a new neighbor who just moved in. Do we know the people who surround us, who live next door? So we've met the people on either side of us so far, and we live in a cul-de-sac now, and we've met the people kind of on the corner before you get it back on the main street, but we haven't met these others who have kind of pull into their garage and get out of their car and shut the garage and go in their house before they never come out. And I've even been outside and still nothing, but still trying to work on that. But we did get an Amazon package the other day, and the tag, all I see is it says Figvine Cove, which is our cove, and I can see 3 letters of a last name, I-O-N. And I know that it's not the people who live to the left and the right of me, because I know their last names. And I know it's not the one that over here at the end of the cul-de-sac, because I know their last name. And so maybe the Amazon driver is just giving me a challenge. Go knock on every single door and be like, what's your last name? And maybe pull out this package and be like, oh, I got a package for you. Maybe it's a way to meet my neighbors, being a delivery person. Sometimes when we try to love everyone, we end up loving no one. Sometimes this love our neighbor becomes this metaphorical love for metaphorical neighbor, and we forget about the people who are right next door. And so how do we start to love our neighbors? We look around. We get to know the needs of those around us, get to know the names of those around us, and then we see how we can become part of their lives, how we can become part of a solution, how we can become part of a neighborhood. In the book, it says, so often the solutions to the problems in our neighborhoods aren't ultimately found in the government or police or schools or the HOAs or in getting more people to come to church, but the solution lies within us. The power to become a good neighbor, to care for the people around us, and to be cared for by the people around us. It says relationships are more effective than programs. So often we think, well, if they would just create another program, what if we just embrace the relationship? In the parable, the Samaritan does not cross the street and pass by on the other side, but the Samaritan draws close to the person in need. Moved by the Spirit of God, seeing that the man is alive, he draws close with compassion, with eyes to see and a heart to respond. You see, compassion doesn't require some heroic gesture of self-denial or giving everything we have, but compassion requires us to be sensitive to the everyday. A meal. Bringing the trash can back in if we see it out there instead of calling the HOA. Helping to mow a grass if we see that it's getting out of control. How do we meet the needs of those around us? The practice of neighboring creates incredible opportunities for us as believers to connect our story to the stories of our neighbors and to God's story. You see, Jesus' call to love our neighbors is unconditional. To give ourselves. You see, the Samaritan stops what he was on his way to do, drops his plans, pours oil to cleanse and wine to dull the pain, lends his donkey, shares his money, takes his time. Friends, we see that being a good neighbor can be costly. Costly to ourselves because we understand that the gospel is not about us, but it's about Christ. Next week, we'll talk about, a little bit about barriers that can sometimes be in place from keeping us from becoming good neighbors with others, that we fill our schedules with so many things that we're away from our house all day long, and then we come back when the sun's already down and it's time to go to bed, that we miss connecting with those around us. You know, in this story, we see that the hated enemy, the Samaritan, becomes the hero. That he puts his money where his mouth is. He takes time to care for and to be a good neighbor. I think this story is a story of an invitation to treat each person with compassion. Jesus asked the lawyer, who was a good neighbor? Who showed mercy to the person who was attacked by the bandits? And the lawyer said, the one who proved to be a good neighbor is the one who loved, who showed mercy, who showed compassion. And Jesus said, yes. Now go and do the same. May it be so for us as we meet those literally right around us. I look forward. I'm going to challenge myself this week to meet three more in my cul-de-sac, and I will want you to hold me accountable to that as we look to really meet our neighbors. May it be so for all of us this day and always. Let us pray. Gracious God, we do indeed give you thanks for your scripture for us today. We thank you for making it a little simple for us, for making it something that we can all do right where we are, wherever we find ourselves, that we might be a good neighbor, that we might meet those around us, that we might love those around us and care for them, that you are indeed a genius and have created something and called us to do something that could change the world. So may we be intentional about it as we seek to love you with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength, and our neighbor as ourself. In Christ's holy name we pray. Amen.